will determines best trick. Free will, which is considered by many central to human nature, has been studied as far back as ancient Greece by philosophers and scientists alike. It is most commonly defined as the capacity to choose between different courses of action in an unimpeded way. That is to say, the ability to make choice in which the action and resulting outcome have not been determined by past events. Decision making, the cognitive process resulting in the selection of a course of action amongst several possibilities, has been extensively studied within the field of neuroscience research. As such, it is in a unique position to attempt to answer the question of free will within humans at a scientific level. Do we have free will, or are our decisions the result of complex neurobiological processes inside the brain? Are we guided by our conscious thoughts and emotions, or by these unconscious neurobiological processes? What's the neuroscience of free will? Spoiler alert, I don't have an answer to these very big questions, but I thought it would be interesting to review some of the neuroscience research on the topic of free will. This article is an adaptation of an essay I wrote for school, so it may get a little bit more technical than usual, but I have removed a lot of jargon. How our behavior is shaped by unconscious brain activity, an important area of investigation. When it comes to free will, is the readiness potential, a build-up of electrical potential in the brain which manifests itself before a physical movement. In the 1980s, neurologist Benjamin Libet performed a landmark experiment to explore the relationship between brain activity, conscious intention, and action. Libet asked each participant to flick their wrist occasionally at a time of their own choosing. The three elements Libet measured during the experiment were time of conscious intention, LP, and onset of time of movement, using a special clock with a rotating dot. The participants were asked to know the position of the dot when they felt the conscious intention to move. Libet also used NMG surface electrodes to measure muscle activity and determine the precise onset of time of wrist flexion, as well as EEG to record LP in the participant's brain. So, what result did he get? Libet found that the LP leading to a subject's movement, which can be considered unconscious brain activity, began approximately half a second before the participant was aware of their own conscious intention to move. This result were surprising because you would expect for the conscious intention to move to happen before the brain preparing for the movement, not the other way around. Libet's interpretation was that the brain unconsciously plans our behavior before we become conscious of our choice, which would call into question the very existence of free will and its validity as a construct. There are many issues with the Libet experiment. The fact that it used self-reporting, which can be unreliable, but also the fact that it assumed that LP is related to the decision to move, which could be anything such as paying attention to the wrist, and the idea that our behavior is largely shaped by unconscious activity in the brain is controversial. Other researchers have a more nuanced hypothesis. Can free will exist without access to the mental processes inside our brain? Our researchers argue that introspection only gives People assert to mental content such as intentions and feeling, but the mental processes such as neural activity remain inaccessible, resulting in a conflation of mental processes and mental content, which makes research on the topic of free will difficult. To better understand this, close your eyes, look inside your mind, focus on what you're feeling and thinking. How much of what's going inside your brain can you access this way? Well, you have access to the result of the neural processes inside your brain, your thoughts and emotions, but you don't know or feel when neurons are firing or when there's increase of a specific neurotransmitter. You need to get a brain scan to get access to that information. All you know is that you're feeling excited, upset, focused, or that you made up your mind to carry on a specific action. As a result, even though people may perceive their conscious intention as the main driver of their behavior, the reality may be that the experience of free will is instead a observant rationalization leading to an artificial causal relation between intentions and action. In short, free will may be illusory. Dr. Daniel Wenner, an American social psychologist and professor of psychology at Harvard University, called it the mind's best trick. He defined free will as a function of three elements. Priority: the thought must come before the action. Consistency: the thought must be consistent with the action. Exclusivity: the thought cannot be accompanied with other causes. He conducted a series of experiments in which people experienced an illusion of control, feeling that they will was shaping events which were actually determined by someone else. His view was that decisions are first made by the brain, and there is a delay before we become conscious of them, at which point we attribute our own free will to the action. Another way to gain insight into free will is to look at brain-related conditions, impairing the ability to control one's actions. For instance, Tourette's syndrome is a neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by verbal and motor tics where patients cannot suppress these involuntary movements. The underlying cause of Tourette's syndrome are currently unknown, but is thought to be linked with motor areas of the brain. In another example of brain-related condition, damage to the part of the brain connecting the cerebral hemisphere called the corpus callosum may result in a phenomenon known as the alien hand syndrome, where patients experience their limbs acting seemingly on their own, without conscious control over their actions. The fact that the damage to the brain or chemical imbalances result in a loss of our ability to exercise our free will may suggest that our experience of free will itself is the result of unconscious neurobiological mechanism which we can't control. If neural activity starts before we formulate a conscious decision, it will explain why neurodevelopmental disorders as well as damage to certain areas of the brain can impair our normal ability to consciously control our actions. As Wegner explains, this hypothesis doesn't mean that conscious thought does not cause action. Rather, the lack of access to underlying mental processes means our experience of free will is based on invalid inferences. As such, free will may well be considered the mind's best trick.